Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second pass interference call against the Chiefs tonight. It's first and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up, breaks a tackle, touchdown Jacksonville.
My initial reaction immediately out loud, you got to be kidding me.
I was about ready to turn the game off there. Patrick Mahomes wasn't the quarterback on the other side. I can't. I know there's a possibility.
Three timeouts and before the holding on the kickoff, 20-something seconds. And they lost the game right there, obviously. We talked about Chris Jones's effort on that play. We'll get back into that. If you're just joining us for the first time today, I promise you we're going to hit on everything you want to talk about today. We got 4 hours to do it. We've talked about the pick six. We'll work our way through everything throughout the show. If you miss any of it, of course, I encourage you to go back on the podcast as well. But I promise you, there's anything that was significant last night, I promise you we are talking about today. On Cody and Gold and on
including
for the
Jack
Chiefs.
Cochran and his special teams.
We're going to get to Harrison Butker as well. Nate Taylor's going to join us in studio today in the 1 o'clock hour. He was in Jacksonville. He's on a flight right now or just landed or something. So we're going to have his perspective on the game. But let's talk about something that was a huge discussion last year in the Chiefs' success in one score games. 10-0 last year, going back the year before, they were 17 straight one score games. This year, they're 0-3. Regression is kind of a you know what, isn't it? And this goes back to the margin of error that the Chiefs are playing with. Every other team deals with this. The Chiefs are now experiencing that as well. Now, all of a sudden, they're just not winning one score games.
It's so weird because the regression to the mean would suggest the Chiefs are a better team than most teams, so one score games they'll have a winning record, right? Maybe win 70%, maybe not 100% gold, certainly. But zero? They're 0-3? And go back in those games and look at where they were. The game was 13-13 against the Chargers, and then they let it completely get away. All they have to do is stop Justin Herbert, and then Patrick Mahomes might go down and win it. In the Eagles game, that game had an even better chance of winning than in last night's game. You were up 4. You had the game-winning drive maybe sealed up. All you got to do defensively is find a way to slow them up and stop them from getting in the end zone, and you win that game. I do not think that this is a regression that I would expect to last forever, but I do think that there is part of this that is you're not good enough all the time, and no team is, to win every one-score game. And what's happened this year probably is the better teams have closed the margin in the sense that they can also win these. I pointed out earlier, and I think it's worth pointing out, that the teams that they have lost to so far this year are 11-4 in total. They are very, very, very good They are very good football teams. They will all be in the playoffs. No doubt about it, I think. All three of them will be in the playoffs. Hell, the Eagles could be the number one seed on their side, and the other two teams will be very good. And so what's happened, I think, this year is they won some of those one-score games against bad teams last year, and you can win as many one-score bad teams as you want. That this year, all their one-score games have been good teams, and they've just fallen apart. I don't expect them to go 0-7 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just regression. You can say it's hitting you hard. They're 0-3 in them, but also you had a 17-0 stretch during them. It was going to shift at some point, and right now you've allowed this to happen. What I'm saying is in the first half last night, it could be 14-0 at halftime. Instead, you drop what should have been an interception. It allows them to keep the drive going. It's 14-7. It allows them to have some faith, one-score game versus kind of putting them down, right?
Bury them. Yeah, that game's over.
And you didn't do that. And then it allowed all this extra stuff to compound, and you know, you could afford a couple of those mistakes in the second half if you were up 14-0, if it wasn't a 14-7 game. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they didn't do a year ago. And I think for the one-score game stuff, I don't know how many more one-score games you're going to play in. There's a very good chance Sunday's game is a one-score game against the Lions. You know what I mean? And so they're going to have to find a way to close out a football game against a quality opponent.
I think what's really stood out, and this is the part that frustrates about any of this, is like your regression. Like, it typically, how they won these games, Gold, is they just don't make mistakes at the end, and you do, right? Hey, we're two teams, and we got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, so you'll screw up. We won't. We win. The end, right? The Denver Broncos will have a field goal blocked, and we'll win the game. You'll lose the game, etc. You'll make the mistake. We don't. Maybe if I took on aggregate the five games so far this year for the Chiefs, the reason why I think this regression is hitting so hard, Gold, is they're a sloppy-ass football team. They play sloppy football. That is very, and I'm not saying they've never screwed anything up in the previous 7 years with these two guys, but like, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Andy Reid, so you have maybe the best coach of all time, maybe the best quarterback of all time, whatever, most talented, however you want to look at it. Why are you so sloppy? Why do you make so many mistakes in the first five games this year? I don't care if it's the penalties. Juwan Taylor, and they had a ton of penalties yesterday, and I'm not even saying they weren't guilty of most of them. They were definitely guilty of most of them. Tyquan lined up in the wrong area. Shamari Connor definitely pass interfered him. Hell, they didn't even get the pass interference that was definitively won on the Trent McDuffie pick. That's the part that gets me. You are too experienced of an NFL football team, coaching staff, whatever, to just be kicking the football around. The regression feels like it's self-inflicted.
That's usually how it happens. I mean, that's a lot of times that occurs in that particular way. You have luck that helps you also get to 17-0. As much as it is coaching, there's coaching, there's playmakers making plays to help you go 17 straight one-score games. There's also some luck involved. So when you're 0-3 in one-score games, there's coaching errors, there's players not making plays, and there's probably some luck that went the other team's way. Some of this is just, you've been living a pretty charmed life for a while, and now it's just regressing the other way. Do I think they're now going to be 0-8 in one-score games this year? No. My guess is they will win a few of them, but it needs to happen quick. Based on the schedule, you're going to be in a lot of one-score games. It's the NFL. One-score games, this is kind of the world you live in. Like, it goes back to most teams don't blow out other teams. The Chiefs were fortunate to do that against Baltimore last week and win by 17, but most games are that way. That's kind of how the NFL goes.
Most games are close, and you can't be the team who makes the critical mistake at the critical moment. What's crazy, it's like, after every critical mistake last night, they overcame it, right? So, like, they were up 14-0, and then they kept kicking the ball around. They didn't get the interception. They let him go down and drive. They got called for pass interference, even though it was kind of a weak call. They got called for pass interference. Drive continues, all this other stuff, fine. Then they throw a pick six in which they are determined to go up either 17-14 or 21-14. They're on the one-yard line, so like certainly feels like they're getting ready to go up. Then they just go down the field, and it's 21-21. And then they get up late in the game. They overcame so many of the mistakes, only to not be able to get off the field in a minute and a half when the Jags were not even playing particularly clean football on the final drive of the game. That's what's frustrating. It's not like the Jags played some, like, I understand when the Chiefs lose and teams are playing pitcher perfect. Chargers played really well in week one, so maybe that's the one. But the Eagles messed around a lot and did not look perfect in their game. Neither did the Jags in this. It's not even like they're playing perfect football and you're playing bad football and you're losing. It's like you're both playing sloppy football and you're the one being sloppier in the mess, which doesn't make sense. Then on the other side of the football field, they are making coaching decisions that still don't make any sense to me. If you look at all of the grades for the NFL, the Chiefs have one of the best rookie corners in the league. Noah Williams, rates out, is one of the best Pro Football Focus, stats-wise, play-wise, whatever you want to look at it. He's one of the best rookie corners in the NFL. And I got Shamari Connor Gold out here playing 99.9% of the snaps or whatever. And I'm not saying he can't play a lot. They obviously value him. Why was Noah Williams only in for 4 snaps of the game? It doesn't make any sense to me. That seems like a fatal mistake.
He's been playing really
well.
How
did you allow that to happen after he was coming off maybe his best game as a pro?
That's bizarre. Yeah, it's really bizarre for the best defensive staff in football in that particular. It'll be interesting later on in the week to hear from Steve Spagnuolo when he's asked about that, because I'm sure he will be, and why Noah Williams didn't play as much. You know, there's a lot of second guessing that happens when you have a performance like that defensively, especially late on drives. But it doesn't make any sense for a guy that's been playing as well as he has, why they thought that particular decision would be a good one throughout the entire game. You know, and to the Jags' credit, they found their mismatch. Brian Thomas with Shamari Connor.
That's especially in the last drive.
The last drive in particular.
Was it Shamari or was it Jalen Watson? Because Jalen Watson
that
was,
play was Shamari Connor.
He threw it over Jalen Watson, who missed on the bat, and Shamari Connor was over top. Too, yeah. He was over top, and then Jalen Watson got beat on that little out by De'Ami Brown. It feels like he was targeting Jalen Watson.
Watson didn't have a good game either, but that goes back to the same thing with Noah Williams. If Jalen Watson's not having his best game, if Shamari Connor's getting picked on by Brian Thomas in the final drive, well then...
That's what I'm saying, because Jalen Watson, Shamari's more of the safety-ish type of player where, I mean,
we're
talking corner directly, it's Jalen Watson. And so I think that that's where it's interesting that...
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to bench Jalen Watson. For the first 4 weeks, he's been as good as you could possibly ask for. My argument is not that Jalen Watson needs to be off the field for Noah Williams. It needs that Noah Williams, one way or the other, they got to find a way to get him. He's been the nickel corner for this team. Noah Williams, though, has not been playing Jalen Watson's spot even before. I don't think anybody's been arguing that Jalen Watson should be off the field in favor of Noah Williams.
I know, I understand that, but it feels like, and I think Herbert was doing this too, it feels like Jalen Watson, there's moments where he gets picked on, and it's like, man.
Sure, he's an imperfect corner.
I understand that, but...
I mean, just last week we were saying he played one of his best games as a corner, I don't think,
like I said, it's in moments where he can't make a stop. I think it's a little bit inconsistent, which it's evident when it's bad. Like, when it's good, it's really good, but when it's evident, Justin Herbert is targeting Jalen Watson right now. Trevor Lawrence went at Jalen Watson yesterday, and Shamari Connor was also a part of it. I think that also, when I looked... In two of the three losses this year, the Chiefs defense made one stop in the second half in both games. It feels like this is something that we saw last year and the couple years before that. The ability of the defense to basically win you the game. Like when they needed to get you a stop, it seemed like they always came through, whether it was a Spags blitz, a batted ball, a sack, a pick, a great tackle, whatever it is. It always felt like the Chiefs defense was going to come through for you, where we haven't seen that in these games this year. And I think that's just collectively a lack of execution across the board. It's a lack of a pass rush. It's somebody getting beat on a it's the little things that the Chiefs always seem to have done well. They're not doing defensively this year. And at least those two of the three losses.
I don't disagree right now. I would say I think that was an exact take you had on the show last year about the Chiefs defense as well. Like it was that we had this exact same conversation.
It was always the question last year, and they always came through last year. Like Patrick Mahomes admitted it too. The Chiefs defense won them games single-handedly last year, multiple times. Mahomes admitted it.
Exactly.
This year, we're not seeing them do that, and as a result, they're losing close games. I think the one possession game thing is partially also because the defense is not making that play where, hey, you got to start, like as soon as they get to 21-21, the Chiefs defense last year would have made a stop and they would have punted the ball. Instead, the Jags get a field goal and it gives themselves a chance to win the game as well with that touchdown afterwards. It felt like when they needed a stop, the defense couldn't get you that stop as opposed to years past where they've always been able to.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard.
Last night, I don't want to make this last night seem like the Chargers game as well. Yeah, well, the Chargers game, we've all acknowledged that the whole entire team, I don't know what the hell that team was in week one. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
they just played a bad football game.
That was a game, but I'm not willing to say last night and now the defense doesn't know how to get stops because last night they couldn't get the stop at the end of the game. That's all.
Like, if you still look at the yards per play, all that stuff. And look, the one throw that we're talking about, like picking on Jalen Watson and Shamari Connor, that was an incredible throw from Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, the throw was
and
a
I will just great. Like, that one's not like Jalen Watson got
best
beat.
Throw of the season.
He had a 3-inch window to
hit
that
pass.
It was probably
the best of his career.
He hit it. Like, sometimes quarterbacks are going to do that. He made truly an incredible throw. There was not a flawed part of the coverage. I'm just saying, there is no universe in which Noah Williams should only play four snaps for a guy who grades out well, looks good in coverage. It's not like in the four snaps, he could look like he just got his ass kicked and screwed things up. He only played four snaps.
So it's a Spags thing.
So like, I don't know.
Why was he not? I'm sure he'll be asked that.
I'm going to guess, and Williams played way more special teams. I'm going to guess that part of their game plan is that they thought that they might take advantage of Noah Williams. I don't know. Sometimes they do. Genuinely, I think as a coaching staff, just forgetting the substitution packages or the packages that exist against a defense, they know they're going to attack the Jags. And that might be a bunch of packages that Williams is not in. But it's a mistake sometimes to leave one of your better playmakers on defense. You should adjust more to what you do well sometimes rather than just try to adjust to the package you want to run against that defense. And I think that that's where the Chiefs get stuck sometimes. That's where we run into these games, like that game last night. They only handed the ball to Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco 14 times. Patrick Mahomes threw it 41 times.
The night where they actually had success. The night where they actually were getting Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco some of their best runs of the year, you know, and they didn't run as much. There's a ton of blame all the way around. We've been going through it. This was a special teams. I would lean special teams and defense far more than offense, but offense obviously part of the pie here of why this football team lost yesterday. But I definitely give the majority of that towards the defense and special teams. And we'll talk about the kickoff and also multiple holding penalties on returns coming up in just a little bit as well. But yeah, I mean, I think for Kansas City moving forward, this is the same issue. If there's one thing that you can be critical of on Spagnuolo with younger players, there's still always that hesitation to go full go with the younger player early enough in the year. And I thought that Noel Williams had shown enough last week and the week before in limited action that the playing time would increase, and it decreased. But it might be what you're saying, which is, you know, the package that they were going to run throughout much of the game did not involve, you know, that how many times would that have allowed him to be on the field to begin with? Like, as much as we're saying he needs to be on the field more, again, the solution was not taking Jalen Watson off the field. Jalen Watson's the number two corner. He's not going to be a shutdown corner like Trent McDuffie. He's going to get exposed at times. That time was last night. The week before, he shut down and looked great against Baltimore. So which one is it? Does it mean he stinks? No. He had a rough day at the office. He's still their number two corner.
Yeah, and I agree. I just don't think that there's a game plan that makes sense in order to do it. I would say overall,
There's not four Trent McDuffies out on the defense.
The only thing I think that the defense regularly struggled with in this game was Trevor Lawrence anyway, as in running the ball.
Yeah, they
did
no
look stout for a while. They just kept letting him run up the middle. That was the more frustrating part defensively.
Yeah, he was able to bail and go right, very easily right up the middle multiple times at the game.
Never adjusted, never ran a spy, never tried to... Like, when Trevor Lawrence started to go to the outside, Chanel was there, so they had an answer there, but not up the middle. What's crazy is they do a good job historically against Josh Allen in the running game. They did a good job this year against Lamar Jackson in the running game. And they let Trevor Lawrence be the answer for the guy who burns him in the rushing game. You're like, no, have an answer for it. And they were doing it on purpose. You could see the Jags were spreading their defensive ends out in an effort to make and create that space for Trevor Lawrence. This is what's so frustrating with this game. I don't even think the defense played that horribly bad. I thought they played bad on the final drive, but overall, there was times we were talking in the first half of that game. They made Trevor Lawrence look terrible. He was making bad passes. He wasn't even, it didn't seem like he had anybody open. Kept getting delay of game calls. He had almost had like 58 of them in the game. They clearly frustrated and confused him for a decent chunk of the game. At final drive, not so much. And that was my frustration. You got the timeouts. I know you want to save him, all this other stuff. But if they got a guy in the field, then the final drive that they've clearly found an advantage on, don't just leave a disadvantage on the
ETN field. Had been their best offensive playmaker. They held him to 49 yards. He did nothing in the passing game either. That's what's crazy about it. ETN would have been the one guy, you know, and Brian
up
Thomas.
Until Brian Thomas. But Brian Thomas was the final drive.
It was all the final drive. Yeah.
Before that, he was like a perfectly normal NFL football player. Yeah. Travis Hunter probably looked more impressive than the others.
Travis Hunter, they said they got a big surprise. They're going to unleash him for about, literally until that long play. National media members on Twitter were all saying, oh, so much for using him. The surprise was they're not going to even use him tonight. Then they use him and he makes an unbelievable catch. And it was for 44 yards. He ended up with 64 on the day. So it was, this is why
it was a great catch.
Margins are slim. We're honestly talking about three plays from the defense, truly. The running of Trevor Lawrence was an issue all night, but three plays.
The Chris Jones one, not getting the interception, and then probably,
The Travis Hunter catch. Big plays that the defense did not. You know, at some point, right, they're paid to make plays as well, that being the Jags. But just a really, you know, frustrating loss all the way around.
It did give me some brief that, like, it's not just a Chiefs problem. This is, like, the smallest note in the game. But Isaiah Pacheco, it's like we always complain about his vision. Did you guys see what was Tutin doing on that run when he had two bucks?
He ran into Watson.
Why did he run right into Jalen Watson? I was genuinely confused. And then the only complaint, I was like, is he blind? Did he forget how football works? And one person responded to that from a Jags fan base, and he said, "You're blind, you stupid idiot." And his account was Basil Tutin Fan Club. I was like, okay, well then we're just having
his guy. That's his guy.
That's
man.
His dude. I That's couldn't believe it. Made no sense. He had like it was like the vision of a brick wall. He just ran into a tackle for no reason. It's small, but I just wanted to point out.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more special teams. We haven't focused on that unit, which was a disaster last night. Penalties, Harrison Butker kicking the ball out of bounds. We'll get to all that in just a bit. But in the meantime, even though some of what we saw last night was trash, we'll get to the trash of the day right now.
Trash of the day.
All right, it's not sports oriented, although, as I said, there was plenty of things that we could have put in this trash of the day as well.
Yeah.
How about someone that was enjoying their lottery win quite a bit that resulted in them going to the hospital? So we go to, this is a British lotto winner.
Okay.
Won $1.3 million. This is an England forklift, a forklift operator named Adam Lopez, all right? Won $1.3 million. Bought a new car. Okay.
Cool.
One for his mom as well. That's very nice. Then went on a three-month bender.
Well, that's not great.
The quarter-year party came to an end, however, when Lopez had to be rushed to a hospital. It seemed that he developed a bilateral pulmonary embolism after a blood clot in his leg made it to his lungs, leaving him with an inability to walk or breathe. Fortunately, he had the money for any medical attention that was needed, and he was thankful he lived through the parting wake-up call.
So this guy went on an all-timer.
Just said, for 3 months, I'm going to live my life.
Dude, but like...
and go all out.
You could just enjoy your life under normal circumstances just by collecting interest on that money. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You didn't have to, like... nobody was forcing you to drink it in a single quarter. You could have just figured out a way to, like...
also, $1.3 million is a lot of money, but after taxes and stuff, like, it's not like you... I mean... You bought the car for you and the your mom, which is very nice. Like, it's not like this dude has money where he doesn't have to work again. So he quit his job for 3 months and then said, I'll figure it out later.
I guess he just...
because there's no way he was working if he was on a three-month bender. Okay. He was not working.
No, I don't. I mean, not effectively.
Not forklift, as a forklift operator.
Yeah.
Someone says, was this Mark Sanchez?
And for what it's worth.
It was not.
I think, unlike the U.S., in England, you do not pay taxes on...
Lotto?
On the actual lottery to start in England.
Okay.
You do have to pay. There's tax liabilities that can come up in how you spend and use the money.
Yeah.
But that man got a full clean 1.3 mil.
Okay.
Now, I got to say, but it's still, look, I'm not saying, Gold, you wouldn't be in Vegas drunk off your ass at the craps table having the best time of your life if you won $20 million in the lottery. I'm not saying you wouldn't enjoy yourself for an evening or a weekend. A quarter? Who's got the energy? I just couldn't. I mean,
3 months.
I couldn't party that much. I'd be after like 2 days, I'd be too tired of it. What's the longest? College is probably the last time you partied 3 consecutive days.
College,
and even then, it was probably a low rate.
College, and then maybe at the lake once, but that's, we're talking like a 2 day period. You know what I mean?
And even that, by the time, like at my age, not kidding, we get to like, hey, we're gonna spend 4 days at the lake. If I get after it a little too hard on then one of those days, I'm not. Yeah. Time to lay low that day. I got after too much last night. I'm not feeling up for it two nights. I don't even like to drink two nights in a row anymore in my life.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, right back to the Chiefs and Jags from last night. We're going to key in on the special teams unit, the mistakes that existed there, and one thing from Mahomes, other than the pick six that happened on a regular.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Basis.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Nate Taylor's going to join us at 1 o'clock. He'll be in studio. He was in Jacksonville, where it looked like, by the way, it was... is it fair to say 50-50 Chiefs-Jags? One side of the stadium looked all red, and the other was that teal
color. Quite a loud
whatever,
home
turquoise.
Of the Chiefs at the beginning
Very
of the game
Very much
there.
So. But in the big moments, I mean, there was plenty of noise there from the Jags fans as well. Oh, yeah. But there was definitely a good showing.
Shouting Duval.
The weather ended up being just fine for the game. And for Chiefs fans that did make the trip down to Jacksonville or that are just Chiefs fans that happen to live in Florida as well, we'll get to Patrick Mahomes some more, not only the pick six, but what Tyquan Thorne and him continue to build. If you're looking ahead later on in the season, not just last night, again, this wasn't the final game of the season, so it's okay to still also talk about some of the things moving forward. But moving forward, something that we've been discussing really since week one on this show, at least, and that is special teams are a problem.
Train wreck yesterday.
It wasn't just the Butker issue that we've brought to your attention for weeks. It is the multiple holding calls on returns. Jack Cochran had a very tough day at the office with holding calls. Breshard Smith, now I don't know if he would have had some of the returns without the holding, right? It's hard to say,
sure.
But it looked there were a couple returns that were going to, you know, were there without the particular hold from Cochran, big mistakes from him. And then Harrison Butker, it was a different story. This wasn't a missed field goal, wasn't a mixed extra point.
It was a miss at the most critical time.
It was a kickoff out of bounds. And I saw a lot of excuse making on social media, and maybe it's just social media, and so I have to take it with a grain of salt, and I get it. And look, everybody, we're all guilty of this. In the heat of the moment, like, everybody was upset last night.
Sure.
The team did not play well. They lost. It's late at night. You know, you got to get up the next morning to go to work. Like, I get it. Everybody's on edge last night on social, and so you tweet something, you overreact. But I did not get the coming to the defense of Harrison Butker on the kickoff. Like, nobody's saying that everything he's accomplished for the organization is just wiped away. No, nobody's saying that you can no longer reference the great things he has done for the Chiefs and the amazing kicks and clutch kicks that have helped this team win Super Bowls. That all stands forever. That never is going away. However, present day, 2025, Harrison Butker on a weekly basis is making mistakes that has cost this team the game, or at least contributed, I should say, to why the Chiefs have lost these games. A kickoff out of bounds is not just, oh, it's no big deal because of the new kickoff rule. Yes, it is. The only option is not kick it out of bounds or touchback 35 versus 40, and so it's only a five-yard penalty. Also, I'll take the 5 yards in that spot. That matters. But
with a minute and a half to go in a close football game where they have to score a touchdown?
Make them return the ball. And yeah, the average return, I think, is the 29-yard line last night in the game. Okay, so they're at the 30 instead of the 40. You don't think the Chiefs would have liked to have an extra 10 yards defensively to work with? That can't happen from an experienced kicker that's the highest paid kicker in football.
I got to say, I mean, he is. And this is like, this is not, it pains me to say, I guess, in some ways, just based on the fact that he has mattered a lot for this team. A kicker off the street would be just as good as Harrison Butker, and I don't know why we can't accept that anymore. There's still nothing they can really do about it other than
they're not cutting him.
Try to coach him and hope that he's better. He has made a mistake in all five games. In all three losses, he's probably not the single biggest reason they lost the game, but had he done his job perfectly, they can win those games or help them win those games or assist in winning those games or however you want to look at it. He currently ranks 20, let me get the exact number. It's pretty low down there. Fifth in field goal percentages made. And I understand he's kicked the like seventh most. That's the job. He's not kicking longer field goals than anyone else in the NFL. If you're looking at the league average over the last 5 years of field goals made over 50 plus yards, he is below the league average. He is making 60% this year. That's right around league average. He is even lower than the stat I just gave you on extra points in the NFL. He's 34th in that category. Most teams haven't missed an extra point. He has missed now three this season. And so they have a huge, and look, the whole special teams, that was the unit that cost him the game more than the Patrick Mahomes pick six. You can't have four holding calls on special teams penalties. You can't kick the ball out of bounds at the most critical moment. You can't screw things up like that.
Yep.
And cost yourself the game. The special teams unit stunk yesterday as a unit, not just the one guy making one mistake, but he's made a mistake in every game.
Yeah, that's just a fact.
He's either missed a kick, missed an extra point, put the ball out of bounds, whatever, in every game. So he's got to, like, it could be as simple as tighten it up.
Yeah, well, that's all that
Harrison,
you can hope.
Play better.
That's all that you can hope. That's all that you can hope can happen, Cody, because we've gone through the financials. They're not moving on from them. They really can't. This just has to get better, and that's on coaching. That's on him, but it's also on Dave Tobe to figure out what are the issues. If it's a health thing, All right, well then start, you know, you, I know people don't want, players are never going to use that as an excuse, but then, no. Okay, if a health thing, then that's also a problem. And then they do need to explore something. And there's also this thing, you know, that you can do, which is make a player inactive due to an injury. They're not going to do that. But my point is, like, I don't think he's actually hurt. Now you could say it's ramifications from prior surgery or whatever that's altered his kicking and all this kind of stuff. Sure. I don't know what exactly is wrong with him at this point in time, but for a guy that was one of the best kickers in football to now on a weekly basis be part of the problem, that's not what you can afford to have on a team where the margin of error is so thin. And we're going through every issue. Someone's like, hey, how come you're not talking about Patrick Mahomes' interception? We haven't. I just mentioned it. Can't talk about 20 things at once in a 1 minute period. We are working.
It was the biggest mistake of the game.
Yeah. We talked about it at the start of the show today, and we'll get back to the Mahomes interception. Someone said, I wish you would have the same energy for that. Well, a couple things. I would say Patrick Mahomes has also led them to multiple victories this year. So yeah, he's always going to be viewed a little bit differently than the kicker. Okay. Patrick Mahomes acting like last night was a mistake. Of course it was from Patrick Mahomes. He acknowledged it. We already talked on the show about it, but acting like that, the same dialogue should be the same for Mahomes as Harrison Butker is ludicrous.
It's also just like Patrick Mahomes played great in that game yesterday, beside the one mistake, which was awful and definitively helped cost in the football game. No one here is trying to dispute that in any conceivable way. But if you look at the rest of the game, Patrick Mahomes did everything. He's done everything in a couple of these games that they wouldn't have had a chance to win unless it was for his performance. He threw for 320 yards, ran for another 60, and scored twice. Like, it's hard for me to be like, well, let's keep that same energy and just bury him. Again, I also think he's helped them win football games. And I'm not saying Harrison Butker has made no kicks this year or has helped in no ways. What I'm saying is he is no better than, for the last year and these five games, he is no better than statistically in any conceivable category. Kicks over 50 yards, regular kicks, extra points, kickoffs. He is no better than an average to below average kicker. Some guys straight up off the street, including a guy who used to be here in Spencer Schrader, unfortunately he just had a season end, have been better than him. Cairo Santos, who was once here in town, has been, I think he took his job, has been better than him. And some dudes I've never even heard of off the street have been better than him. And so some of that stands out just because this feels like one of those things that you should be able to figure out.
Is it? It's not to me, and I've never kicked a football like that. Is this something that you even coach? Like to what extent is it just?
No, that's Tobe's job.
You gotta lock in
Harrison,
and you gotta make this kick. Like it feels like that's the extent of it. Of course, they're not gonna cut him, as you guys said. But with other kickers, it's as simple as if you're not making the kicks, my man. Sorry. You are no longer useful to us, where it feels like we're getting to that point. Not that they would cut him, but I mean, if he were to miss a couple kicks here in the next few games, all of a sudden it's turning more into the, we can't rely on you, my guy. And it's something that would be, if on another team, he would be gone and it would be somebody else. For a team that's expecting to win the Super Bowl, you got to be able to rely on everybody.
Yeah,
he has to figure it out from a mental standpoint. It feels like
if the Chiefs would have been able to march down the field on that last drive and get in field goal range. Be honest, what was your confidence level that he would have made a 55-yarder at this point in his career?
50%?
It probably would have been a 50-50.
Maybe less, 40%?
50-50 proposition. And for those that's saying, well, yeah, it's 55 yards, we went through the numbers a couple weeks ago. 56-yarders are not the same as they were 4 years ago, or even a year ago, for that matter, with the new kicking balls that the league is using, these K-balls that they're allowing teams to have all week instead of just there on game day and things like that. I mean, we have 41-year-old Nick Folk out here making 59-yard field goals for the Jets.
He's made 100% of his kicks this year.
I don't want to spend too much time on the kicker because it is still a small fraction, but it is every week now, man. Every single week.
Kind of like it's a little Juwan. I don't understand why we can't have this energy for Juwan Taylor, but we can't have it for Butker. What I'm saying is not that he is the single biggest reason they're losing football games. What I'm saying is you can't screw up every week. Can we have a clean week? Can you, against the Detroit Lions, make the field goals you're asked to make, make the extra points you're asked to make, not kick the kickoffs out of bounds? One clean week is what I'm asking for. So far, he's 0-5. Like, it's the Juwan Taylor problem. At some point, it's like, hey, try not to screw up this time. That's all. Like, and again, I know that there's bigger problems, including what happened with the Chiefs, obviously, in the passing game and the pick six. And I don't know anybody didn't tackle Devin Lloyd. I think I saw that it was only the second time in NFL history that a linebacker had a 99-yard pick six return, because typically they don't go that far.
I thought Tyquan was about to catch him, but
Mahomes didn't put out the great best effort.
I don't want him getting hurt. I don't want him getting hurt.
Same. So. I almost prefer he just didn't even try to tackle him at all.
I don't need him getting hurt as much as you want to tackle. It's not the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Hurt Rashee Rice the last time he tried to tackle someone on a pick.
This is one of those you just have to be smart. Like he got fooled on the pick six, but on the return, I don't need him trying to make the tackle. If it was the Super Bowl, different conversation. You know what? Super Bowl, go for it, man.
Yeah.
I feel like it was one of those things where I think Xavier was also, he was getting blocked. I think he was trying to run down there, but it was like,
Tyquan was the only guy that had a shot.
Everybody just stopped and it was like, it's like everybody just stopped and was like, dang, and then just saw it unfold.
It's a heavy package. It's not designed to have a bunch of speedsters down there ready to catch the guy.
Briefly, can we talk something positive? Is that allowed today?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Just for a second.
It's not a happy day just based on the way that game went.
Just for a second. Tyquan Thornton, we were talking about him on the return or on the interception trying to track down Devin Lloyd, but this is now all 5 weeks of the season that Tyquan Thornton Mahomes, the trust factor, that is going to be there all year. You had mentioned during the game, Cody, we were texting or whatever, Tyquan Thornton doing something that we all hoped, frankly, MVS could do, which is track the ball down the field. It was an underthrown ball by Mahomes. Mahomes gets hit as he throws it. It's underthrown, but Tyquan had his eyes the entire time reading it, and he was able to cut back and catch the football. Bad challenge by Liam Cohen. I don't understand what he was doing on the catch. It was a catch. I don't know why he challenged it, but it stood as a catch for Tyquan.
No, I genuinely, Tyquan Thornton, and I wasn't sure if this was just they had no one else to throw to gold, and then sometimes somebody makes a name for themselves. But instead, what we found out is Tyquan Thornton is here to stay and here to stay the entire time, and that's delightful. Why wouldn't we be excited about that possibility that they have found a weapon?
Sure.
And this is what stands out about it. It has been, I think, since Tyreek Hill. I don't think they've had a single deep threat since Tyreek Hill that Patrick Mahomes has shown a regular willingness to throw the ball downfield in a hope you win, my guy, kind of throw. Not regularly. I'm not saying he's never made that throw to anyone else, but he will just throw the ball up to Tyquan Thornton and say, best of luck. Hope it works out. And he does it regularly with conviction. It gives him the confidence that if he's in single coverage, he can do that. He is already at a career high of receiving yardage. Did you know that? He's already 25 yards above his best season as an NFL pro. So if you're just curious how it's been going in Kansas City, great. He's got the league high average in yards per reception. He's exactly what we were hoping MVS would be as a complement to the other wide receivers. Look, Rashee Rice will come back and the offense, I still think, will continue to shine. I just like that this is a permanent fixture in the offense. I wasn't sure once people returned if he would maintain a position. If anything, Hollywood's or some of these other guys' role is more threatened by the return of Rashee Rice than Tyquan Thornton. Thornton's role is his role, and he's there, and he's good, and they're going to use him the rest of the way. It has been one of the biggest bright spots of the first 5 weeks.
No question. Yeah, I mean, where would they be without Tyquan Thornton through the first 5 weeks? Where would the explosive plays be? They obviously wouldn't have a couple wins if it weren't for Tyquan Thornton. I mean, that he's been sensational for them in his role. And, you know, someone said, why did they go away from the second half? They tried to go to him in the second half.
They took,
I think, back-to-back plays. They took a deep shot to him, and the ball was overthrown or just very good coverage. It's not going to be there every single time, but Tyquan Thornton stretches the field and allow some of the other stuff that has been better here the last couple weeks to work. Like, Worthy being on the field is a big chunk of it, even if he himself is not getting the ball in a given play, and he was quiet in the first half. And then, oddly enough, once he tweaked his ankle in the game, he actually was better. Whatever. But
fun with pacing stats. Tyquan's on pace for 930 yards. You think he's going to finish with that?
Crazy.
Probably not. But yeah, I like that they found a compliment. Goal, this is going to be really important because, and it depends on what the defense ends up being. For the first week of the season, the defense looked like it was flawed. For the following 3 weeks, it looked like they were the best defense in all of football. And then last night, they looked flawed or disorganized again. So what version? Because here's the thing. There was a stretch during that game last night when it was 14-0. As it relates to Tyquan and the defense and everything else. There was a stretch during that game last night when it was 14-0 gold. That you could have convinced me like, oh, baby. The offense is clicking. Everything's firing on all cylinders. They're hitting Xavier. They're hitting Tyquan. Kelsey's in the mix. It's all working. They're getting ready to get Rashee Rice back. They're talking penalties for the Chiefs. That's a great sign for everything's humming. And they were making Trevor Lawrence very uncomfortable. And I thought we were going to come. I thought at 14-0, I thought we were going to come in today and talk about how this is going to end up looking like one of the most complete teams they've had. They can play offense and they can play defense. And Thornton was a huge part of that. And then things fell apart and unraveled, and that wasn't the conversation coming into today. But it's hard for me to imagine a place that if they are healthy, that this is not one of the better offensive units weapons-wise in the NFL. Tyquan Thornton is on pace for 930 yards. He is definitively the third or fourth receiver on this team once Rashee Rice gets back. He is behind. Am I behind Kelce? He might be the fourth or fifth option.
Yeah, as I said before,
and
he's
having
not a
very good year.
As I said, it's not even a depth chart thing. I mean, his role, he's going to be
a deep threat. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so it, honestly, guys can come and go out of the wide receiver room if they're hurt or whatever. He's going to have just his role. You know what I mean? So I don't really even care like where he's listed on the depth chart. He's going to get on the field and he's going to have his opportunities down the field and they're going to utilize him in different ways.
That should be easier, though, is what? Going forward?
Yes. As we said earlier, I know, you know, everybody should be frustrated today, and we're going to get right back into, I promise you, Chris Jones' lack of effort. We're going to get back into the mistakes and the penalties and everything like that. We'll get there in the noon hour. But the offense, to me, once again, showed plenty of encouraging signs moving forward, knowing what they're about to get. Like, that's, I'll listen to being discouraged more about the defense or whatever after last night. That's fair.
Yeah.
The offense, I am way more encouraged about the offense moving forward. That is still the key to this all working itself out. If you think this team is still going to win the division, if you think they're still going to make the playoffs, the offense getting better is still the biggest part of this equation. And I think the last couple weeks they've gotten better. The offensive line, just even in this game, I actually thought maybe had, we talked about Josh Simmons last week having his best game as a pro. I thought maybe this was his best game and he was sick.
I thought the offensive line played great. I thought the offense, as a result of that, played great, except for one very bad mistake from Patrick Mahomes, which was the pick six. And I'm not trying to diminish it. It's just hard for me to, like, knock the offense gold, knowing that outside of that one mistake, Patrick Mahomes played a nearly perfect football game. Was that one mistake not just missing a, you know, regular pass play that didn't cause major problems? No. It was a humongous mistake. It was a huge, 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 huge problem, and it caused major problems for the game, and it swung it in the single biggest EPA swing, whatever you want to look at. It seemed like the single biggest swing of the entire game, and they came back, and it was still 21-21, and they still got the lead in the fourth quarter.
They Mahomes couldn't get
bounced
the stop
back. But part of it is Mahomes bounced back from the mistake he made.
Oh, yeah.
He took his team right back down the field and scored a touchdown, and then when he had to go down and score a touchdown to win the game again, he did it again. And so he bounced back from that mistake versus the defense on the final drive. And look, Trevor Lawrence, to his credit, made one, I'd say of the entire drive, made one absolutely insane, incredible throw. Outside of that, felt like the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot a little bit on that final drive defensively, but he made one nuts throw. I just like that part of the offense doesn't feel like it's going anywhere.
Do you feel better that, so, because it's weird, like last year, the offense couldn't do anything, defense would get stops. Now it's like the offense is doing the thing. They're giving you the lead, but the defense the last two drives allowed that field goal and then allowed the touchdown. Does that?
I just think they're not together as a unit.
Would you rather it be the reverse, or would you rather it be this way?
They got Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather be an offensive team. Yeah. 99. Yeah. And look, I just like
in
just
the year
reality.
2025, you want the offense over the defense.
And I'll still count on Spags figuring out a system in a playoff game to look even better. And historically, this goes back to the same thing. They've looked really good in three games, mediocre in one, and bad in another. Is how I would describe the defense so far. I'd say they look top five defense in three games, bottom five defense in one game, and middle of the road defense is what I would declare them in this most recent one, like the 15th or 16th best team. Historically, Spags' defense get better as time goes on. I will still assume that that is going to be the case as time goes on. And then, and this is like such a small thing, and I'm not, like, I thought it was weird that Andy Reid complained about the officiating at the end of the game, but I gotta say, as like a viewer in Kansas City, maybe I'm off. If you're a fan for another team and for some reason you're listening to this because you're the Jags fan and you wanted to bathe in our tears, fine. It can't be just me listening to a broadcast and the deal that they make when a missed call happens that favors the Chiefs versus the way they react when a missed call happens that favors the other team is dramatic, almost unlistenable. And I understand that should have been pass interference on the Trent McDuffie interception. It was a missed call. They missed a lot of calls in that game, some that certainly benefited the Jags and some that certainly benefited the Chiefs. It was a poorly officiated game. The viscera that they speak with about the Chiefs is like they can't stand it. They talk about it, Gold, like they're disgusted. It's grotesque. The horror of the Chiefs getting a call that went in their favor. They speak with it in a way that I can't understand. They seem so hate it so much, man.
Yeah, it's not as big of a conversation because the team lost last night, so it was probably going to be much more of a convo on the show today. But yeah, there's who's the rules analyst for ESPN, the John Perry guy or whatever. That guy was miserable throughout the entire broadcast.
He hates the Chiefs.
Just
Raiders fan or something?
It was a poorly officiated game, clearly. There were calls that benefited the Chiefs. There were calls that benefited the Jags. I will remind you, the Chiefs had 13 penalties for 109 yards in the game. And for all the talk, like the play at the goal line where Trevor Lawrence fumbled it, that was not a 50-50 call that just went the Chiefs' way. He fumbled the football before he crossed the plane.
Perry essentially announced on a 50-50 call in the Juju one. He's like, I know that's 50-50. So then when you're like, call it a pass interference. You're like, what?
Yeah, but again, I almost hate talking about it today because it doesn't matter. If the team would have won, it's a different convo. I don't really want to, because the same thing. The bitching and moaning about officiating from getting the Chiefs getting breaks was a sign that the offense was back in the first half, because that's what people do. They went from counting them out to then it's rigged for them. And so, like, in the first half, it was trending towards, well, the league is rigged for them. And then when things started going good for the Jags, people backed off of that. So that's something we knew was going to happen, but you can't blame the officiating either way with the way the game went last night. Whether if the Chiefs lost, it's not why the Chiefs lost. It certainly wouldn't have been why the Chiefs won. There were some bad calls on both sides. But in a game where one team has 13 penalties, the other has four, you can't claim that it's all favorable for Kansas City.
I just feel like they've let the national narrative from a fan base decide how they're going to broadcast a game. They got graphic packages ready to fire up on Jawan Taylor. But they don't for other teams teams commit penalties. Referees miss penalties. They make a huge deal on the broadcast about how they talk about Chiefs penalties. Like they're undoing a terrible wrong in the NFL by exposing the underbelly that is they more favorably give calls to Kansas City. That's
like
my
issue. Guys say is that they're on national TV more than anybody else. So they get, they get that draw, I guess, where they feel inclined to have those graphics ready.
Some people agree with me on the text line. And again, I'm not saying the refs are the reason the Chiefs lost the game. You know how far down that would be on my list of reasons they lost the football game? Do I think that they interfered with Hunter on that third down play? No, I think that was probably a clean play. Do I think that Travis Kelce got his hands held down by Hunter on the missed third down by them? Yeah, probably. Do I think that that cost them the game in any way? No, it's like rank, 18 on the reason they, of 1 through 18, that's where the referees hurting the Chiefs cost.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then we'll get right back into the litany of mistakes last night, plus a little all 32 as we're talking Chiefs loss to the Jags next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.